barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up riches for himself, but is not rich towards God. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
I imagine as you were listening to these two texts that were read this morning, they're kind of downers, aren't they? Ecclesiastes, looking at life at a horizontal level, looking at life from purely just seeing it like this. We look at the gentleman who is sharing with us, perhaps Solomon, of what's going on here, and he uses repeatedly this phrase, everything is meaningless, although not everything is meaningless, because you get to the end of the book too, and a couple times during the book you see there is meaning, but that meaning comes from a place that is not here. It comes from a place from God himself to give us meaning. But when I was thinking about life without meaning, I was thinking, you know, this is something that Eeyore would have authored. How many of you remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? I've got a few quotes from Eeyore that maybe you can remember when you watched Winnie the Pooh when you were a kid. Here's some of the things that Eeyore would say about life in different ways. It's not much of a tale, but I'm sort of attached to it. If it's a good morning, which I doubt, days, weeks, months, who knows? Thanks for noticing me. Might take a day or two, but I'll find a new one. Most likely lose it again anyway. You hear Eeyore in all of these? Yeah. Sure is a cheerful color. Guess I'll have to get used to it. It's an awful nice tail, Kanga. Much nicer than the rest of me. They made me catch the cold I caught. Thanks, but I'd rather stay in Eeyore. Oh, there's some other ones here I could read for you, but it'd take too long. I wouldn't finish the rest of the sermon. But the point being, doesn't it sound a little bit like that when we're reading Ecclesiastes 2 and reading this text here about life? It seems to be kind of meaningless. I want to take a few weeks and talk about making peace with ourselves and making peace with those things around us. And I wanted to do it first of all with making peace with ourselves. And I'm not so sure the gentleman who wrote Ecclesiastes, again, perhaps Solomon, really had been making peace with himself in light of what he was sharing with us. When we look at work or toil, as it says in the NIV version on these verses that were read this morning, it says this about work. It's grievous. It leaves one despairing. The fruits of my labor are left for others. I worry. Anxious, striving, pain and grief. My vision may not be their vision, that is, to those that I leave it for. All these things we see in this whole idea of work, why is it felt that way? I think there are a lot of times in life you don't feel that way about work or whatever it might be. But when you look at it at the end of life, if we see life from this entirely horizontal level, everything that I've done, all that I've worked for, all the things that we have accumulated or the things we have not accumulated that we wanted to, at the very end of life when we die, here's what he says, it's left for the next person. Maybe it's family, maybe it's not. Maybe it's death. I don't know what it is that's left, but whatever's left, it's left for someone else. He says, in a sense, why do I do what I do? I think part of the answer to that is, until we make peace with who we are, who He is, and why we're here, work and all the other things that are described in Ecclesiastes do become eventually meaningless until we come to that point. Because when it's done just for me, when it's just done for a temporal purpose, that temporal purpose is gone eventually. But when we can do things with a different idea in mind, that why do I do what I do? Why did God put me here? When I can make peace with who I am in light of who He is and why He put me here, then these things start having meaning. And Ecclesiastes wants to bring us to that point eventually. But in the meantime, here's where we're left with all of this. And indeed, if Solomon was the author of Ecclesiastes, he had it all, didn't he? He was a wealthy king. He had an expansive kingdom. He had all the military power he wanted. He had a whole lot of wives and concubines. Now, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because, I mean, you know, guys? Opinions? Be careful what you say. When you have the best, you don't need anything else, right? That's what you need to say, guys. All of this he had. And yet, when you read Ecclesiastes, all of it was meaningless. Until and if you finally find out what the real meaning of life is. You know, when we look at work in light of this text here, you can look at work just in light of what you do as a job. That could be work. But I want to remind us of something here when it comes to the different areas of work or toil in our life. One would very well be a job. If you're retired, maybe you don't have a job. Another area of work, believe it or not, is a spouse. You work in that relationship. You work in that context. Maybe another one is health. You know, that's an area of work or toil as we strive to be healthy. And the older you get, the more aches and pains that you have. There's our family. There's other relationships. There's the church itself. All these things are area of toil and work in our life. But in all these areas, if everything we do is done with the idea of this horizontal, me and the world kind of relationship, or me and my spouse kind of relationship, or me and my children kind of relationship, and we leave out the one who gives us meaning, and the one who can give us that peace that we need, that peace He talks about in John 14:27, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Not that kind of peace, it's a different kind of peace. And when you have that kind of peace, then everything that you have and everything that you do in your life can have meaning. It isn't meaningless. You see, life, even the way we do it sometimes, can have temporal meaning. You know, you look at Luke chapter 12:16 and following that we read this morning. This whole matter of, I have all this stuff, and I need to build bigger barns to gather more crops so that I can just kind of sit there and eat, drink, and be merry at the end of things. And God's saying, you know, that is looking at it entirely from a horizontal kind of level. It's looking at it with a me kind of attitude. It's looking at it without God being included at all. And God's saying in this, Jesus actually, who spoke this, your life is taken from you today and all that's gone. What kind of meaning did that have? Nothing at all. Gathering for myself. No, because if we want to have real peace with ourselves in that relationship with Him, we are gathering ultimately for the benefit of others. We're gathering ultimately for the benefit of the relationship that we have with God Himself through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, raising a family can have an eternal meaning or it can have a temporal meaning. Let me give this to you. You know, we can raise our children to be good people and model citizens. That's temporal. It's good. It's noble. And most parents, that's where they're at. I want to raise my kids to be good people and model citizens. I want my kids to know Jesus Christ. and my grandkids. And that will be a work that's always in process for us as we continue to grow older. Grandparents, don't give up on kids. Don't give up on grandkids. Yes, we want our kids to be good. We want them to be model citizens. But even that is only temporal if God is not included in that equation. I hope and pray for all of you, if you have kids or you have grandkids, that the most important thing that could ever happen is that they give their life to Jesus Christ. That's eternal. Everything else is temporal. Maybe good. Serves good purposes in our world today, but it's temporal. We want our kids to be the best at whatever they can be, but that could be very temporal, couldn't it? Doesn't matter what they're good at if they don't know Jesus Christ. It only serves a temporal purpose. Ask professional athletes when they retire from the sport or when they have to leave the sport because they're injured. It's temporal. That's all there is. We want our kids to be happy, but that's illusory. Because, you know, we can be happy for a season, for a little point in time. We can go to Disney World and be happy for a little while. We can experience happiness with something that we've accumulated or something we've done or something that's happened in our family for a little while. But in the context of the eternal, that too is temporal. Work. Temporally speaking, why do we work? Well, we work to provide for our family, right? We work because we have to. If you don't work, you don't accumulate the funds you need to eat and have a place to live and whatever it is you might need to do what you got to do. But all these things, if done just for those purposes, it's still temporal. I could work with the idea that wherever I am at and whatever I'm doing, I want to honor God in my work. And if I honor God in my work, then my work has eternal value. You see what I'm saying? No matter what I'm doing, it has eternal value. We don't work because it just makes me happy. Because again, that could be temporal. But if done in Christ, it can be eternal. We think work might provide security. We live in a world today where there isn't a whole lot of work security, is there? Or there's not a whole lot of security sometimes in those retirement funds that go, woo, woo, woo. It's temporal. A lot of it could be gone. Who knows? Only when we see all that we have in light of the God who loves us and provides for us, will we find that we can make peace with who we are in light of Him. And all these things then that are spoken of in Ecclesiastes, the toiling in our life, the doing things we do, everything I do under the sun, it doesn't seem to have meaning, but it does when we put it under the template, under the umbrella of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, then it all has meaning. Do I live to eat or eat to live? Now that one we struggle with sometimes. You know, I mean, me, if you look at this right now, sometimes I live to eat, it looks like, doesn't it? But, or do we eat to live? How do we look at even that in our life? The Samaritan woman in living water. We've read that story recently. I did a while back a sermon on that. The woman who came for water from the well, and Jesus was saying, I can give you water that doesn't satisfy for a moment. It satisfies for eternity. Living water. And at first she's kind of, what are you talking about? But she started to understand as she had conversation with Jesus Christ. Life with eternal meaning. I'm going to end with this. At the base level, we need to understand something. And it starts with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. And in that text, it says that God created, that the word that's used is ex nihilo, meaning He created out of nothing. God created out of nothing. He created what he created here. And he said in those first few days what he created was good, and when he created us, he said it was very good. We need to start at that very best base level that God created everything. Didn't evolve. He created it. In fact, he was very specific when he said he created. He said he created everything in their own kind. Of their own kind. Not this evolves into this, and this evolves into this. You know what happens when we start going there? We don't acknowledge the God who created. We say it happens by chance. And that goes against all the laws of nature that we've been told in science, and the laws of thermodynamics, and all those kinds of things that go on. It doesn't even make sense to think that way, but yet we got a lot of the people in the world today that think that way. God created. Here's what it says. God created everything. And we shouldn't eat or do anything without acknowledgement of that. You know, Lisa and I went out on a snowmobile ride yesterday. I wasn't sure she'd go with me, but she did. We had a pretty good time. She was kind of cold, but we had a good time. Went with my brother and sister-in-law up in the UP, and we went to Trout Lake, and we ate a restaurant there called Buckhorn. I was everybody there. They were all in the snowmobiles. And we gathered and we ordered and we asked God to bless our time together and the meal that we're eating. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of that going on in that restaurant at the time. But what I want to do with that is at the very base level is acknowledge, even at that level, as we go out and we're enjoying ourselves and we made it to the place of safety and all that sort, and we're eating and we're gathered there, and we said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Making peace with myself that I have been created by God and He is the provider of all that I have. I have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ in the very base level. Understand that God created everything. God made it, He gave it, and He even orchestrates it. That's God at the very base level. We will never make peace with ourselves until we bow down before Him. We will never make peace with ourselves until we bow down before Him. God says He'll take us just as we are. That's one thing a lot of people out there don't understand. And some people even in the church don't understand. Some people think they've got to get all their ducks in a row before God will take me. No. He says you can have your ducks all messed up. They're going every which way. Life is just... Bleh! He says, I'll take you just like that. Just like you are. Don't do anything different. I'll take you just as you are. But after He takes us just as we are, and says you don't need a resume, He says you don't need an interview, then God takes us just as we are and says, now I want to change you and transform you to be the person that really can make peace with themselves. A person that can love themselves because they know that there's someone who loves them dearly. God. And He showed us that through what He did on the cross at Calvary through Jesus Christ, His Son. He showed us, this is how much I love you. You and I can make peace with ourselves knowing that. And if we know all that and all the meaning, you know, meaning will come in our failures too as much as it does our successes. God doesn't care about the failure or success of what we do, as long as what we do is with an intent of the heart to honor Him with. That's what He wants from us. All other roads are dead ends. Every other road's a dead end. So first of all, if you want to have peace, you got to make peace with yourselves. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Ecclesiastes and Solomon being honest that he spoke those words in Ecclesiastes 2 about toil and everything involved with that seems so meaningless, because after I'm all done with it, I leave it to someone else and it just doesn't seem to carry any meaning. That's because, and he understood later, that's because without you at the center, without focusing on you, nothing has any eternal significance. Help us to put everything under that umbrella of your love for us, everything in our life under that, and we'll begin to understand that we can have peace with ourselves and everything then starts to have meaning. Thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.